Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
I wonder how much you and I, more than we dare realize, are prisoners of this realistic thinking, where we live in a prison house of earthly facts, so-called, when God wants to take us beyond those facts and show his power in us. Do you think maybe, just maybe, that's where he's going with a whole lot of things that's happening in our lives? How many of you just loved, I know you'd all love to have an easy way and just, praise God, I'd jump on the bandwagon and it's going to take me to heaven and everything's going to be great and grand. We're going to sing and shout all the way there. I'll tell you, we can sing and shout, but it's going to have to be through tears sometimes. It's going to have to be through pain sometimes. It's going to have to be through difficulties of many kinds. It's not realistic. God has put us in a world where every fact that the devil can bring forth is rallied against what he has said and what he has promised. And we're going to have to make that choice. And only God's power at work in the heart can enable us to do that. That's why we've got to open up and say, God, help me. And in those times when you have no answer, in those times when it hurts, when there's sadness, when there's sickness, when there's all these things that rise up against faith and you're wondering, does God really care? That's when faith grows. That's when God wants to enable us. He has promised to give us the grace, the divine help that we need in every kind of that circumstance, every time we face that type of circumstance. God wants us to reach out and lay hold of him. You know, that was the service Wednesday night, wasn't it? Now, God has given us everything. Some of you weren't here. But anyway, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So what's lacking? Why don't we have it? So we need to lay hold of his promises. And God will take us through life experiences in which the virtues that he longs to form in our character will be called for. We're going to need them. When every ounce of your natural being wants to hate somebody and God says, love them, I need help. But has God provided that help? So what's my place? Is to reach out by faith and say, God, I feel this, but you promised. I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of people that blame God effectively for their troubles. I was born this way. If God wanted me to live this way, he wouldn't have allowed me to feel this. Oh yeah? You don't have a clue what's going on in this world. God has fixed it to where we live in a world where we are going to have to go against this, and it's going to take divine power to do it. But we have a God who is faithful. So here's Abraham, and of course you remember, well, let's see, let's just talk about what he, in verse 12, back to Hebrews 11, all these people were still living by faith when they died. And so the faith, the things that they had a hope of, many of them extended beyond their natural life, and still they reached their deathbed and they didn't say, well, God promised this and I don't see it, so therefore poo on that. There was a conviction. They were able to breathe their last breath and say, God, I know you're faithful. This is worth dying for. This is more real to me than all of Satan's facts. Is he real? Is he real? That real to you? That's what God wants to build in every single one of us. Okay? So they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Now here's a part of it. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. That's a real issue, folks. Where's our affection. There's a lot of people, there are a lot of people in the world who feel needs that life brings, and they would like their circumstances to be improved, and they see in God a means to that end. They want to come and believe in God and trust God and ask God and all this, and God's going to come and he's going to do this and thus and so in my life. That's what I'm looking for. What's the motive in that? That's trying to use God as a servant to fix me up, to make my life what I want it to be in this world. My God, that's not what the whole kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is about rescuing Satan's prisoners and changing us from the heart level out and getting us ready to leave this life behind and embrace one that is to come. And the reality is that there's a God who can make that so real that you would be willing to lay down your life. Man, we need that. I don't want any of these precious young people down here to have secondhand faith. I want you to have your own encounter with God. He will come and speak to you and make himself real to you if you will open your heart when he comes. And you could have something that's real. Boy, I wish you could see more in us. I guarantee we all got room to grow, don't we? But this God is real. And he wants to be real in this hour that we face. We face the darkest hour the world has ever seen. I don't know how that will play out. But I know that there's a God who has put something in us that will prevail over all of that if we will trust him. Okay? So people who say, okay, they only saw them from a... If they'd been thinking about these things, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. How many believe that God has genuinely set before us a hope that is eternal, that there is a kingdom that's real? The world will look at you and call you a fool and tell you that this is just pie in the sky, feel good, imaginary religion, that you're just trying to do this as a coping mechanism because life is hard. Well, there may be people like that, but I'll tell you, there's a God who's real. That God was real to Abraham. And he looked past everything that there was wrong with this world, and he said, this is not my home. God's purpose for me goes way beyond my individual life, and I'm going to die in faith. I'll tell you what, the faith that took him through was the faith that enabled him when God said, sacrifice your son. You think about the reality of the facts that that man had to face. And you just feel the fight, the questioning within him. But God, this is the son you promised. Lord, I know he was supernaturally given to me. God, this is your son. How can you ask me to do this? But his confidence in the person of God went beyond his questions. Think about that. Every one of us will face things in life about which we will have many questions. But I'll tell you, we need to have such a knowledge of who this God is and what he has done and how much he loves us, how much he has demonstrated that love and the promises that he has, that his promises are more real to us than anything we can see and touch and feel, because they're that real. And so we see how God allowed Abraham to come to the point where his arm was raised. Then he stopped. God stopped him and said, I see that you're not going to withhold anything. I don't know whether I could face that test or not. But you think about the facts that he was having to deal with. And the scripture here says that he reasoned that God could raise him from the dead. Well, that was one way to look at it. That isn't how it happened. But, you know, God has his own way of fixing things and bringing circumstances to bear on our lives and changing them. Wouldn't it be nice if we would just learn to rest in that? Oh, how we struggle and we strive and we question. Oh, God, if you really loved me, this wouldn't be this way. God, when are you going to answer my prayer, Lord? Why don't we just say, God, I'm going to take one stand before you, and I'm just going to simply believe you. And I am well aware that the devil is going to raise up every kind of fact he can that will oppose that conviction. But God, I can't do this in myself. Lord, by faith, I ask for the grace to fuel this faith and enable me to rise up and enable me to have that conviction and to stand in the middle of this. Of course, you have the example of Moses. When he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. That's a pretty good picture of what faith is, isn't it? Do you see, even among such a ragtag bunch of people that doesn't impress anybody in the world, I don't care. I want to have something that's real. We got a lot of room for improvement, but I want something that's real. I don't care whether we impress anybody. God will reach people. God will work with hearts, and he will draw people where he opens the heart. My God, we don't need a program that'll bring people in here and appeal to their flesh. We need God to change hearts and lives. But here was a man. Somehow, God enabled him to have enough faith to make a rather radical choice. How many of us would have said, God, I praise you. My people are in trouble, and you allowed me to grow up in the palace. Think of all the good things that I can do for them because of my position. But that isn't how it worked. Oh, we would love to stay in what we think of as a safe, comfortable, nice, circumstantially profitable place and simply extend help to those poor people down there. He stepped over and he said, I'm one of you. I recognize that this Egyptian empire that's so real, he didn't pretend it wasn't real. This empire that is so powerful and so real at this point in history that they have enslaved my people, I see where this is going. They're not serving God. They don't have any kind of future. My future is going to be here with these people because I know the promises God gave to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and I'm with them. You know, even then, you remember what happened when God was ready to use Moses? He came to a place where he had to deal with some facts, and there were facts in his mind. I can't speak. I spent 40 years in the wilderness tending sheep. You got the wrong guy. How they're not going to believe me. Oh, God, you know, on and on and on. And finally, he basically said, here am I, send Aaron. But you know, God took the weakness that he had when he surrendered it to God, and God made him the mightiest prophet of the Old Testament. God doesn't need your resources. God doesn't need your facts about who you are and who you aren't in this world. God is not looking at us as a natural people with, you know, all of our particulars in life. God is simply wanting a people who will come to him and say, God, you are my God. Lead me in a plain path. Lord, we're facing another year. I don't want to come to the end of this year and be where I'm at right now. I don't know what your path has for me. I don't know how much we will see your power and glory. I mean, we'd love to see that. But this may not be the time for some of that. This may be a time when God is going to be digging in our hearts and getting us ready. I'll tell you, there's times when God pours out his spirit and there's a people that just are so superficial and so immature, they can't handle it. I want to see God work, don't you? We have seen him in the history of this church. We have seen him do mighty things. And that's not the sort of thing we see from week to week right now, is it? But I'll tell you, with all of our... We need to have a heart that says, God, bring us to a place of maturity where you can do everything that we see that's a characteristic of your church in the Word. We can see the gifts of the Spirit. We can see miracles when that's appropriate. And we won't go to seed on it. We won't become a bunch of sign seekers that glory in that. We will always keep you in the center. Folks, how many of you are praying that way? We should. We need to cry out and say, God, we are not satisfied just to sit here and be keepers of the tradition. We are not called to simply occupy till he comes in that sense. Or like Jen Hartman put it so many years ago, hang on till I get there. There's more to it than that. God has things that he wants to unfold in our lives. The things you're going through right now, the things I'm going through right now, where so many facts raise themselves up and say, look at you, you're weak, look at this circumstance, you're defeated, look at your life, you've been this way all your life. All these things rise up, and they're facts. They're real. But God says, I'm bigger than your facts. If you just reach out to me and trust me, I can take you out of that. I can lead you forward. And it won't always be with exhilaration. It will be sometimes with pain and tears and perseverance. But that's what the nature of the kingdom of God is about in this world. That's what the writer here is talking about. That's where he's going with this. This is to God's people to help them understand what real kingdom faith is about. Praise God. And you think about you could just go through the whole Bible and talk about facts. How about when the Israelites were standing on the shore of the Red Sea? I mean the near shore. Those are some pretty serious facts. Mightiest army in the world was poised to destroy them. They have an impenetrable body of water in front of them. They have no arms to possibly be able to do anything. They're trapped by their circumstances, except that they weren't. There was a God who had power over that sea. And they weren't able to walk through that thing on dry land. And not only that, that very sea closed over and destroyed the army that was chasing them. Folks, I want to serve that God. He may not do something that dramatic, but that's the same God that's here today. These are not history lessons. These are meant to cause us to reach out and say, you are my God today. You can do everything that you said you would do in the scriptures. But Lord, help us to walk with you when we don't see the fire fly. Help us to trust you. Help us to look to you every single day. Oh, can you imagine what was going on in the minds of some of the folks when they went up against Jericho? Never mind that they had just walked across the Jordan River at the flood stage and God had opened that. I mean, that was pretty cool. But now all of a sudden they're going to defeat a city and God gives them a battle plan of marching around it and singing. Seriously? And, you know, you get to the point where the seventh day they march around it seven times. This is getting ridiculous. That wall is a fact. We can't sing it down. Only when they trusted God, God intervened and God took care of the fact. And that fact wasn't a fact anymore, was it? Praise God. Over and over again, you see this same theme. Gideon, Barak, Samson, David. I'd say he faced some pretty good facts, didn't he? Yeah. Goliath was at least twice as big as he was. I mean, they had genuine giants in those days, and he was on up there. Probably higher than I could jump these days. Touch the top of his head. But anyway, it was real. He had a sword that David could barely pick up. And David had no experience with armaments. And the whole army was afraid. I mean, on and on and on. There was nothing that he could look to in his natural environment that would give him any kind of confidence or hope. So where did his hope come from? It came from his relationship to God that he had seen in lesser things. He had seen God at work in his life. And so he didn't even sneak out there and say, I'm hoping this will work out. He ran. He got five stones and only needed one of them. Why? Because God's power trumped every earthly fact. I don't care what the facts are in our lives. We have a God whose power trumps those facts. I mean, you think about so many of these things, that they're accounts that we know about. And some of them are referred to here as, shut the mouths of lions. Of course, he's talking about Daniel, isn't he? You know, you don't go into a den of hungry lions and have the door locked behind you and expect to come out in one piece. Everybody knows that. The whole history of the human race will tell you that. Be realistic, Daniel. Hide yourself. Don't be a fool. You can still pray in secret. He went and opened his window, prayed exactly like he always had. And I'll tell you, there's a God who took him through that and shut the mouths of the lions until he threw his enemies in there. And then they had a feast, didn't they? Can you imagine being one of the three Hebrew children? What were the facts? You're standing there under the power of a king who is the greatest emperor on the planet at the time. His army is there. There ain't nowhere to run. He is demanding that you fall down at his image and worship that image, and you know that's not right. How many people would have pretended? God wants a people who are so steadfast that nothing will cause us to compromise with the facts of this world. Kind of quiet, isn't it? But it's the truth, isn't it? And I'll tell you, we have a God who will fight our battles. And of course, we know how that one turned out. Not only did they survive, the Lord was in there with them. But here's the flip side of that. Down in middle of verse 35, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Praise God! But yet they are listed among the heroes of faith just as much as the ones who saw a supernatural deliverance. See, it's not about how things work out. How many of us fall into that trap? Oh, I'll believe you, and then I'll believe you, and then just a little bit less and a little bit less, and the next thing you know, we're just, oh well. God wants a people. Like he said to the church at Smyrna in Revelation, be faithful unto death and God will give you the crown of life. There are people that God is going to do something amazing. There are going to be supernatural deliverances like you have never seen if that's God's purpose for that situation. But God may well call some of us to literally give up this earthly life and be killed. Will what you have take you through that? If you have the Lord, you have what you need. He is what we need. When we choose to believe God instead of the facts, quote unquote, God is going to minister the faith that we need, and faith is going to become stronger. We are going to become the kind of people that God wants us to be. There is no other way to get that. You can't come down to the altar and get filled with faith. We're going to have to get it in the field of battle. And I'll tell you, we've got a God who has never failed his people. He's never failed for one that has looked to him from their heart. And he won't fail you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your history is. Don't care what your circumstances are. This God is greater than all of that. He calls those things which be not as though they were. Oh, I thank God we got somebody who transcends facts. He's not limited by you and your weakness and your circumstance and your failure and your track record and all these things. We have a right to go to a God who can take us beyond all of that. So let's cry out to him and say, God, build the kind of faith in me that I need to please you and to walk with you. Help us to walk in this and not simply use it as a history lesson, a theology lesson. Bring the words off of these pages and make them real here now in our midst. Praise God.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.